following is a story that takes place from October 28th, 2023 through until November 7th, 2023. The events in this story may or may not be true, as they will be told by following pictures through the photo app on an iPhone 14, which is not the latest model of the iPhone, nor is it the Pro version, because the Pro versions are for old people who have a hard time seeing, because they're so damn big that you need a fanny pack to carry those things around. The events are foggy, my friends. But to the best of my knowledge, everything I'm about to say is true, according to the pictures that it took. Let's ram through this story here. Wish I wasn't sober for this. We're like a bunch of days into sober November. I gotta do this stupid story sober. So we flew into direct from Vancouver to Miami on Saturday evening of the October 28th. It was a direct 6-hour flight. I watched half of season 11 or 12 or whatever number it is of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I had an aisle seat, and everyone was relatively behaved. I'll be saying we a lot, and when I say we, just picture like a pretty young lady, but not young, like only 4 years younger. Just picture a pretty lady, and that's what I mean when I say we. So we stayed at the Tony Hotel in Miami Beach. The Tony Hotel. When you walk up to it, don't be confused, because the spire on the top of the three-story unit says Tiffany. But it's not Tiffany, it's actually Tony. It's one of them Art Deco Miami looking things, boutique-y type of hotels. It was really nice. Inexpensive and right in the middle of all the crap. Like a block away from the crap, which is like Ocean Drive, which is, you know, the famous sort of Miami Beach sort of strip. And the weather was hot. It was a muggy 28 in the evening, 28 Celsius. And yeah, the hotel reminded me of like something from those like drug movies, or like the 80s Miami thing. I mean, a lot of Miami Beach reminded me of that, like the way that the architecture. We stayed in South Miami Beach, which is the more Art Deco type of architecture, but you go north on Miami Beach and there's like these giant resorts with not a lot of folks walking around, unless they're on the beach. But where we stayed in South Miami at the Tony Hotel, there was lots of people walking around, lots of tourists. Lots of fancy cars like Lamborghinis and Ferraris and old style cars, you know what I mean? Oh, and palm trees, can't forget the palm trees. So I have this picture of a broken toilet and I don't remember where that was. Where was that broken toilet? That might have been, I don't know, I don't remember where we went. But we didn't get into too much shenanigans because we got in late in Miami and checked in late, and I mean, things in Miami are open until like 5 a.m. and then close for an hour and then open at 6, so you can get your hour break. So they get the hour break to clean everything out and do a shift change and then welcome all the riffraff in again. Let's see, it looks like we got back to our hotel room probably like at 2 a.m. that evening, according to these pictures. Then the next morning we woke up and headed out to Hard Rock Stadium to watch the Miami Dolphins versus the New England Patriots. There's really nothing by the stadium. It was like a half hour drive from where we were to get into Miami, into the stadium. And then it was just like gridlock traffic once you got closer to the stadium. So we hopped out of our Uber and started walking. And as we got closer, we found like this little strip mall. And for what, $10? So for the two of us, it was $20 American. We hopped on these little motorized rickshaws. And they drove you right up to the doors of the stadium. While all, you know, a bunch of people are just walking with their legs like a bunch of chumps, where we saved so much time. Just by taking this little motorized scooter, which could fit like, I guess it was like a big golf cart. That's what it was more like. It was less of a rickshaw, more like a golf cart. And man, those guys were making bank, because you know, if like, so for that what, 5 minute drive, it was four of us, like us and two strangers, and it was like they made $40 on the 5 minute drive, which probably would have taken like, you know, 15 minutes to walk. But we were like, oh, we want to get there for kickoff. So Hard Rock Stadium is pretty nice. It's pretty nice stadium. We ended up missing kickoff, but it's fine. I think we got there with like, we only missed like 5 minutes of the game. Our seats were really good. We had this, we are sitting in a section that like I've been to a few NFL games and I've never had seats like this. We had some pretty dang good seats. And I guess the section we were in came with like some VIP section or VIP access. So there was like under, we were on the lower bowl. But at the top row of the lower bowl on like the 40 yard line and right under our seats, like in the stadium under the concrete and the thing, there was a pub and you could go in and get away from all the riffraff regular folk and go get yourself some beverages. The funny thing is like there's three sections in the stadium that can go down to this pub, and when everyone gets in there it's crowded, but if you go up to the regular folks area it's not so bad. So it's a gimmick I probably, you know. It was a good game. I can't remember what the score was. But near the end, so the way you had got to get down to this pub thing, you had to like walk down towards the field and then kind of go in through like this tunnel. So we got like a ton of pictures of like us standing like essentially right on the field as the game was going on. Or like at a certain part of, or like halftime or something. So that was pretty fun. And the security guy, I can't remember his name. As I'm scrolling through the pictures, I can't remember his name. He was very nice to us and he took our picture because he saw that we were struggling trying to take a selfie. I think we saw a couple plays from like on the field. I mean, not seeing much because like all of the TV crew and refs and coaches and players on the bench are like in the way, so you can't really see what's happening. But it's pretty cool to be that close. I didn't get a picture of the score. Oh, it looks like Miami won 31-17. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. I was pretty stoked about that. Out of the whole trip, which will be unveiled later, I think leading up to it, this NFL game was like the thing I was most excited for. Got to see old Billy Belichick, the coach of the New England Patriots. Duh. The other benefit of having those seats too, it's like you can stay. They leave the pub open for like another hour after the game. As the stadium's clearing out, you can just sit and hang out and wait for everyone to go. So you got a place to hang out. So we did that, and then as we were leaving, I realized that we were walking down the paddock for the F1. So F1 a couple years ago started having a race in Miami, which goes around the stadium. And so I kind of started getting like really kind of giddy because I had never really seen an F1 track or even like an F1 paddock. So seeing like the garages and stuff in the pit lane, and the parking lot is actually part of the track. So we got all these pictures of us like laying on the F1 track, essentially laying in the parking lot. And it's just painted like they have the curbs, the white and yellow or white and red curbs there. They're just painted on. Like some of the, like Monaco and stuff, they're actually elevated. I think. And I think when you drive around Monaco, they're like permanently there, so you can be driving on essentially the F1 track. I guess if you went to the Miami Hard Rock Stadium and you were went to park, you'd be driving on part of the track. But the asphalt on that track was like something else. So we ended up running into our security guard friend, and he was taking pictures of us as we were being fools and laying on the F1 track. Oh, we got a picture of him. Ramon! That's what his name was, because we got a picture with him. Yeah, there's a, is it the hairpin? There's like a, is that what it's called? On a track? It's like this hairpin turn. We got a picture around there. And then from there, there's really, like I said, there's really nothing around the stadium. And so we kind of walked for a good while and ended up stumbling upon this casino, which was this big, giant casino, but it was pretty empty. And we ended up watching some more NFL games in there. And then ended up getting a Uber out of that. I think we went... Oh, and then we went downtown Miami, went to some, like, sports bars. I think that's it. I think that's it for that day. That's just day one. And it was like, I was flabbergasted. I don't think I've ever said that word before.
As they play from the 31-yard line, Tua fakes, oh, over the middle, wide open. Waddle's going to waltz in.
The key sequence to me was right before half when they got in the red zone and Jalen Ramsey came down with a pick.
Mac Jones is leveled.
And with Belichick struggling up in New England, it's made the ardent Miami supporters hopeful that Shula's going to hold on to that record. Mac Jones fires up the center of the field, and it is broken up, nearly picked again. Juju Smith-Schuster was there playing defense, and Brandon Jones is hurt. 31-17, your final. Now for Adam Archuleta, Didi Kinkabala, rest of our CBS crew. Spiro Dinas saying so long from Miami, now to JB in New York.
Sorry, this is going to be quite the mess of an episode in terms of audio quality. I was using my headphones to record that last bit, and I realized there's lots of scratching, but I already said so many words that I don't want to redo it. Probably because I was looking through my phone at the photos at the exact same time of talking. We'll see if this audio is any better. Anyway, continuing on, we're on October 30th now, and we sure did sleep in. We were up super early in Vancouver, but when we caught the flight, I think we got up at like, shoot, 5 a.m. or something, or 4:30 a.m. It was a long day, so the 30th we slept in. And then, oh, we got some fancy margaritas on Ocean Drive at one of those fancy, I don't know what they're called, restaurants. What are those things where the ladies wear the big headdresses with the feathers and they dance funny? It's not burlesque. It's like they do it at the in Vegas too, and they do the can-can where they kick their legs, but I don't know. We got some fancy beverages. And Oh, there was these really cool lights that I want to get from Amazon where you just touch them and they turn on. They're good lights, and they're just USB powered, and they're all over the patios. Everyone's got them. This is the night that we discovered Max Club Deuce Bar. And apparently this is the oldest dive bar, the oldest bar in Miami. It was from the 1920s, and damn does it ever look like it was from the 1920s. You could smoke inside. There's no seats except for a long snaking type bar. Do you know those crib boards that look like the 25? I don't know why it's a 25, but that's what this bar looked like. It was just a bar table, and everyone just sat up around there, so it was this big social thing. And apparently it was Anthony Bourdain's favorite place in Miami. And it slowly became our favorite place, except for all the cigarette smoking in there. So many cigarettes in that place. And they, I think before that we found this sports bar on the main strip called Finnegan's. And in there was a bunch of people, a bunch of heavy metal people that were listening to Sepultura on the jukebox. Because there was these jukeboxes everywhere that you can control with your phone. You just pay through this app, and then the app controls the jukebox in the vicinity. And these people kept playing Sepultura all night, and it was fun while we watched sports. And it was a Monday night, so there was a Monday night game, there was a basketball game, and there was like World Series going on. So it was very interesting. All the sports and Sepultura. And then we went to the Max place, Max Club Deuce. Apparently it was in a lot of movies, this bar. And again, like I said, Anthony Bourdain's thing. I think this is the night where we really figured out, boy, you gotta have your wits about you in Miami, because no one's gonna tell you to leave. Because everything is open till 5 a.m. and it creeps up on you. And you're like, man, how much have I had to drink? And then you look at the time, like, geez Louise, it's 4 a.m. and they're still serving me. We ended up at this one place called Sunny's because we're on our way home to the hotel from Max, and this gentleman from like Kenya or something was like, hey, come in here. And we're like, oh, okay. So we went in and had some beverages. What is the time on the, I had two whiskeys at like, from according to this picture, at 3:45 in the morning. I had a Basil Hayden toasted, and that was delicious. And then I had a bullet bourbon, but it was barrel strength. And if you know what barrel strength is, it means that it's got a lot of alcohol in it. What was that, 60%? And that's not usually what a whiskey is. A whiskey's like 45 or something, 45 to 50. Anyway, whiskey talk. Looks like we got home at like 5:30 that evening, morning, whatever. And then we were up at, we had to check out, right? That day we had to check out because we were on Halloween, which is the 31st, we were getting onto a boat, onto a cruise. And we were still feeling it, you know, when you get home at 6 a.m. and you just drank some 60% whiskey at that time of night. And then you gotta check out at, well, at noon we got the checkout. We started walking around because we were like, oh, we don't have to get on the boat till 2. You know. We actually went back to Deuces. We were like, man, we closed down Deuces last night. Well, let's go back. So we went and had a drink, another drink before the boat at Deuces. And then there we met some people who had just got off the exact same boat we were about to go on. And the people that we met there apparently were on a Bert Kreischer cruise. Which was like just a comedian, it was like a comedian festival, a comedy festival on a boat. And they were like, hey, are you going on the Norwegian Pearl? And we were like, yes. And they said, we just got off of that boat, they said. And we said, we are going on that boat in about a couple hours after we finish these drinks. And so that was nice. They told us, though, they warned us that it was going to be very rocky. Like, the sea was angry for them. That's what they told us. So, oh man. Okay. Next chapter in this story is we got on the boat. So I'll pick it up. Pick it up from the boat. Alright, this episode is really sucking. I started editing it last night, and I don't like it. Step-by-step recollection of all the things that happened? That's not entertaining. So right now it is 7 a.m. What day is it? November 15th. And, you know, every time I come out of my parking garage, there's always somebody picking through the garbage. Some guy with a rather large backpack having to deal with, like, a chair. Looked like he was waiting for me to skedaddle so he could pee behind the dumpster. Anyway, where did we leave off? Boat? We just got on the boat? Great. So the whole boat thing, it was 4 days. It really was I mean, time, at this point in the trip, we're starting to realize that time is going very slow. And, which, I mean, we were having a blast. But it was like, we'd be like 3 days, however many, I think we were 3 days in, we're like, man, we've done a lot. It's been going, it has been flying by. And the boat was very much like that too. It was 4 days. But it seemed way longer. And was it 4 days? I don't know. 3 days? 4 days? Whatever. From Halloween, from the 31st, and we got off the boat on the 4th. Yeah, we got off the boat on the 4th, so however many days that is, 4 days. And so it also, like, all the days kind of ran together. The only way that you kind of knew what day it was is because there was a schedule on the boat of, like, all the bands that were playing that day. And so you're also trying to schedule, like, what you want to see. You don't want to miss things because sometimes the bands are playing at different at the same time. Because there was four different stages on the boat. There was one outside, one that was like a normal looking theater with like a balcony, one that was like an Irish pub, and then there was one that we deemed the living room. Because the stage was like, or the there was, it was basically the bands played on like a 1 foot riser, and the ceiling was barely even 10 feet high. So when you're standing on that 1 foot riser, you just put your hand up and you're like hanging off the ceiling. So needless to say, that it was kind of fun to see some stuff in that sort of environment, like very like small space, even though it's 2,400 people on the boat. Each venue did not have a capacity. It was just you. The only one that was really at capacity was, everyone went to was the outside stages when Lamb of God was playing. Who was the host of the boat? Lamb of God curated the whole. They picked all their friends' bands. And the cool part about it, the whole experience too, is like you're on this confined space with all the crew, all the band members, you know. So, I mean, when we first got there, we did order the all-inclusive drink package. So we did have a quota to meet each day of like beverages we needed to consume in order to make that feasible. And not be like, oh, we wasted our money on buying the drink package. There was a way around it though. We did make some friends with people. And some of them did not buy the drink package, and they said that, you know, they just go up to people with the drink package and got free drinks. Because the people with the drink package, they were giving out drinks for, you know, like, hey, you want this? Hey, you want, like, you'd buy drinks for people because it was already bought and paid for. It was a buffet of beverages. Speaking of buffet, so we first get there and we went to go get our first beverage from the buffet, and there was a couple in front of us, an older couple, and I can't remember what the lady, we were talking to her about something, and somebody come up to the guy and said something about, oh, when are you guys playing? And so I'm like, oh, it must be someone, guys from one of the bands. And didn't recognize them, didn't know. And later I found out that he was the bass player for Testament. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then we get off, and then a couple days later, we get off the boat in the Bahamas, because part of cruises is you kind of get to a destination and you get off for like an afternoon or a morning or whatever, just to go. And so we stopped in the Bahamas and when I got to the Bahamas, I turned my phone on, because on the boat, there was like no Wi-Fi, or no, you had to pay for Wi-Fi, but there's no cell service because you're in the middle of the dang ocean. And the, so anyway, we got to the Bahamas, turned my phone on, looked up who's playing in Testament. And turned out that fella in that buffet line was Steve DiGiorgio. Steve DiGiorgio, one of the, what you call her, grandfathers of death metal. He was the original bass player in Death, and he's synonymous with playing a fretless bass. And so with watching Testament on like that first day, I didn't clue in. I was staring at the guy playing bass right in front of me, and I didn't clue in that it was a fretless bass. And if I would have saw that, I'd be like, oh my, fretless bass, that's like Steve DiGiorgio. No, it was Steve DiGiorgio actually playing bass. So I kind of like freaked out for a second. I'm like, oh my God, that was Steve DiGiorgio. And that's kind of the thing that you get on these cruise ships, I guess. I've never been on one before, one of these festival things, but I mean, I would highly recommend it. It's like having the whole thing is like a VIP experience. You're like, you know, there's people at the gym, you're working out at the gym, and then you're like, oh, there's the guitar player for Mastodon, or like there's, you know, and after like a few days of it, it just becomes so normal that you're like, oh, there's the singer from Lacuna Coil again. Oh, there's the singer from Gwar again, getting another piece of cake. You know, that type of thing. It was some cool interactions, though. I did accidentally pushed Alex Skolnick, the guitar player from Testament. I pushed him over by accident because I was leaving a Lacuna Coil set to go see another show, and that was happening at the same time. Actually pushed him. Who else did I meet? The guitar player from Fit for an Autopsy. I kept trying to make him cry because we went up to him. He was kind of sitting by himself, and we just kind of said hello. And he's like started going off to us about how people on the boat have been so nice, and all the other bands are like, man, these guys are awesome. And he just got a text say, because he had it, all the bands have got the Wi-Fi for free, but they got a text about, you know, they had to move them to like a bigger stage for a different set, because they were like too popular for the smaller living room stage. And so he was touched by that, and he was kind of getting a little bit emotional because he was reflecting on his, you know, 20 some odd year career of trying to be a band. And I mean, in all honestly, like, they're nothing fit for an autopsy, they're nothing special. I tried a few times on the boat to really get into them, and I'm like, I don't know, I couldn't, can't. It's just so, to me, it was just very generic. But, you know, people loved them. And so we kept running into him on this guitar player for Fit for an Autopsy. And every time, I kept trying to make him cry. Just be like, hey. I don't know what I was saying. I was drunk a lot. But there was a few times when I'm like, oh, are you going to cry? Are you going to cry? And he started laughing. What else? The other guitar player for Mastodon was a mess a few times. I talked to him a little bit. There's tattoo artist Brittany something, I don't know her last name. She's some sort of famous tattoo artist. She was very pleasant. Hung out with her one evening. I guess her boyfriend or husband or whatever he is the brother of Tom Araya, the singer from Slayer. Who else? Phil Dremmel. Phil Dremmel used to be the guitar player for Machine Head, and has played with Slayer, with Testament, with Anthrax. He's kind of like thrash guitarist, Swiss Army Knife. Well, no, Swiss Army Knife would mean he could also drum. I don't know if he can drum. I'm sure he can. But he was there playing guitar for this band called Violence, which was a thrash band from like the early 80s. And there was this one part in the afternoon where they had music trivia. And I was kind of standing, I was standing watching this trivia, kind of saddles up right beside me and starts like whispering all these answers in my ear. I wasn't playing, I was just sort of like, I wasn't actively playing the trivia, but you know, I was just seeing how smart I was, and there was hard questions like, what was James Hetfield and was it James and Kirk Hammett's side project band while in the early days of Metallica? And it was like something like Disfigured Children or something like that. Decrepit Child. It was some weird name like that. Anyway, Phil kind of said that. And then when they blurted out, when nobody in the room got it, when they were giving out the answers. And then Phil's like, we opened for them back in 86. that was funny. Anyway, the lovely lady that I was with is a huge Machine Head fan, and she really wanted to meet Phil. And at the Irish pub maybe, and he was kind of standing there, and I kind of go up to him, I'm like, hey, and I said, hey, for the trivia tomorrow, I said, is it conflict of interest if I bring you on as a ringer? And he starts laughing and he starts going off about some stuff. And then I went to turn to like introduce him to the lovely lady, and someone else kind of butted in and started yapping at him. So I feel like I kind of cock-blocked it, and she never ended up getting to meet him. But she did, at some point, get sort of accosted by the singer from Violence one evening at 4 a.m. when we're all kind of hanging out, and they started blabbing about stuff, and then about 2 hours later, you know, she finally got away, but apparently he was just going off about like the history of like thrash metal in like the Bay Area or something. And then she came back to me, she's like, we need to write a book or make a documentary or something about thrash metal and make the singer from Violence, like, because he's got all this info. I don't know. What else is cool? Oh, you know what? I'll part two. I can't part two this. I gotta get through this segment. What else? Met some really cool people. My favorite band that I saw was Gate Creeper. They play like some old school like 90s death metal. Um, The singer looks like Randy Brody Dahl. What, I can't remember. The singer from Power Trip. And he acts like the singer from Power Trip. I ran into him. Actually, he pointed me out because one day I was wearing this. It's, if you know, like, the cover of Cannibal Corpse, Butchered at Birth, if you know that album cover, someone a few months ago made a G-rated version of that album cover, and it was too late. Instead of, like, two zombies cutting up a lady, it was two ladies cutting up flowers. And as soon as I saw that on the internet, I'm like, I need to make that into a shirt. So anyway, I was wearing that shirt on the boat one evening, and Buddy from the singer from Gay Creeper was wearing the actual Cannibal Corpse shirt, and we're kind of walking down the hallway, and he's like, hey, there's that shirt everyone's been talking about. There's the flower shirt. And I'm like, oh, hey. And I was like, hey, we should get a picture. So I got a picture with him with our two versions of the Cannibal Corpse album cover. That was cool. He wasn't much of a talker, though. He was a lot. Some of these people, like, you tried to, like, have conversations with them, and they just couldn't. Like, the guy singer from Lacuna Coil, like, wasn't very, like, sociable. We were hanging out at, like, the casino on the ship, like, after all the bands were done. That was the place to go. And every once in a while, we kind of see him by himself, just sort of meandering outside of a group of people. So one night we went up and just started, like, yapping with him. And, man, what a noodle. Like, it was hard to keep a conversation. It might be because of the language barrier. I don't know. They're Italian. But they speak perfectly good English. They're fine. Maybe he's just boring. Or maybe he just is reclusive. But if he's reclusive, why are you at the casino hanging out? But he did tell us a couple of cool stories of, like, the early days of Lacuna Coil and, like, being, like, totally hammered in Russia or something, right? And not remembering, like, playing and not remembering a set or something like that. Who else did we talk to? the guitar player, the second guitar player for Violence, Ira. I don't know what other bands he's done. We call him the Sauce Guy, or no, the Sauce Guy, because the lovely lady was mixing up some sauces. It was like some vinegar and some mayo. I don't know what the heck she was making. It was some, like, something. She, at the buffet line, she was mixing up some sauces. And we turn around, and it's the guitar player from Violence, and we're like, oh, she's like, oh, sorry, I'm just mixing up some sauces here, making my own concoction. And then he's like, oh, he's like, yeah, that's what I do at home. My wife calls me the Sauce King or something like that. So I started calling her the Sauce Queen, which is a Mummy and Daddy movie term. Well, a play on a Mummy and Daddy term. Sauce Queen. What else? Oh, yeah. The big thing. a guy, you know, this is the thing I've been telling everybody when they ask me how was the trip or how was the cruise, and I says, it was so good that some guy decided to end it, and he jumped off. So nothing's gonna get better than this, and he jumped off the boat. Yeah, so some guy purposely jumped at like 3:30, between 3:30 and 4 a.m. Apparently there was an argument on the 11th floor between this guy and his girlfriend or wife or something. The story that we got was that she wanted to leave him or something. Everyone was so drunk on this boat that it was probably like, she was probably like overreacting to something, and she's like, I'm leaving you. And then he overreacted and jumped off the boat. He's like, I'll show you. And killed himself. But apparently there was like, the thing that I don't understand with that story is because there was also reports that the security was like chasing him. There was a ruckus on the 11th floor in the room. Doors were slamming and stuff and yelling and things. And then there was like a chase. The guy was being chased by security. And then that's when he jumped. Maybe he wasn't like premeditatively like, I'm gonna go kill myself. I feel like maybe he was like, oh my God, security's after me. I mean, obviously these people were not in their right minds. And surprisingly, there was a lot of drugs going around on the boat. Even though like getting on the boat was like going through like airport security, but a lot more lax, I should say. Like when we went through, like they barely like checked anything on our luggage. We could have like smuggled whatever on, maybe. Maybe that's why there was so much drugs on the boat. I don't know. But anyway, so we got into our room at about 4 a.m. And as soon as we got into the room, over the loudspeaker was like, the captain's like, man overboard, blah, 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 code, whatever, crap. And so they kept doing reports for like every half hour, saying everybody off the deck, so like their search and rescue people can be like out on the decks like looking for them. And Coast Guard came out, and some other, you know, there was some other boats that came out, and we circled but just north of Cuba. We circled for about 9 hours, and you know, I mean, like, a couple hours in, you kind of, and it was pretty, like, the waters were pretty rough that night, too, and so there was no way this guy was surviving, like, an hour. But we circled for 9 hours, maybe that's protocol or something, I don't know. So during that time, so that whole morning, that was the last day of the festival, and we were on our way back to Miami. So maybe that was part of it. It's like, here, we could circle for 9 hours, but we got to get back to Miami to make our port and to, like, you know, everyone get off the ship. And so everything that morning got canceled. Like, so some of the bands didn't get to play. Like, all the bands got to play at least two sets. Some of them got to play three times. Like, Mastodon, I remember on the last day we saw them for the third time, and walking to go to that venue to see them. It was just like, oh, I guess we're going to go see Mastodon again. But they were good. They played like a different set every night. But yeah, that, I mean, the guy jumping like did screw up the schedule a lot. It was pretty grim. Like when they, I was eating a hamburger from the buffet line. I was out on the aft deck, which is the rear of the boat. I was outside. It was a lovely day, and weather was nice. And you know, over the speaker, well, we're calling off the search, and we're gonna start heading back. And I'm just digging into this hamburger, and I look around, and people start putting their head in their hands and all this stuff, and I'm just like, well, I mean, I feel bad for, I mean, it's rough, because the guy had some friends on board, and his wife or girlfriend or whatever it is like, they're going to have to deal with, pack up all of his shit and get it out there, and... But all in all, it was a great boat ride. Even with that little bit of excitement, that grimness of imagining a dude jumping 11 stories into the water. I just read the other day, he jumped off the back of the boat, and I guess some security who actually saw it. He jumped off the back, and they said if you do that, there's a good chance you get sucked up into the blades. So, I mean, he could have been chewed out. He could have been fish food, like, long before anybody really... It was dark, right? So, 4 a.m. There was one night where we actually didn't go to sleep till like 8 a.m. because there was one bar on the one little like loungy area that was open. It was open 24 hours, so you could be drinking until you, and you know, you could be drinking the whole time. And we stopped because breakfast, we got the announcement that, or people came around and were like, hey, breakfast is ready in the buffet. So we're like, oh cool, let's go eat breakfast. So it was about 6 a.m. We went and ate breakfast, and then probably passed out at like 7 or something. So that was one of the days. Is that it? Guar was fun on the boat. That was fun. What else was it? I don't know. Today the pre-book for next year's boat, because I was on this year's, so I get like a pre-sale code to get a cabin or a room for next year, and I'm like, oof. It was so much fun. I really want to. But I'll have to check in with the missus and see what kind of commitment she wants to make to this relationship. I mean, that's a big cost to like book and be like, hey, if we book it together, it'd be like, hey, we're gambling on us being together for another year. Anyway, I'm sure I could find, if I do end up getting on that boat again, I'm sure I could find somebody to come with me, because damn, was it ever a good time. A lot of nerds too.
Okay. Oh shit, we're on a boat. I keep forgetting until the boat reminded me that we were on a boat. Everything's chugging along. And whoa, hey. Well, that was fun. We've never done a cruise before. I know I told you this the other day, but I'll reiterate again. We've never done something like this before, and so it's just been really fun. I wasn't sure what to expect, and we've just been going around seeing fucking rad heavy metal bands all day. Yeah! And hanging out with you guys. Everyone's been super cool, you know? Woo-hoo! Come up and get some photos and hang out and have a couple beers. But, I mean, just the heavy metal community, such a bunch of really, really super nice people. Yes! The stigma that's attached to us heavy metal people. We're some of the nicest people in the world as you could ever meet, and this proves it. So we love you guys so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And, now it's time to drink some beers together, go catch Lamb of God and some other bands that are playing after us, and I'll see you at the various venues around the ship. And I'll see you at the buffet.
All right, where are we at in this calamity here? Where are we at? So this brings us to what, November? Oh, Jesus. November 4th. I figure like by that time we're getting off the boat there. We're already kind of like spent. They did start closing down some of the bars. Like, what time was that bar closed? 2? And then we were kicked off the boat at like 8. We're supposed to be out of our rooms at 8 a.m. And on the documents it said that we were allowed to stay. Like, our disembarkation was at 9, but they were doing, it was between 8 and 9 was the disembarkation, and you were color-coded, and they're like, okay, at certain times when your color gets called, that's when you get off, that's when it's your turn to leave the boat. But in the documents, it said you can hang out in the lounges, you can hang out in your room, you know, no big deal. And so we stayed in our room, but then we kept getting harassed by like the people that clean the rooms, and like, you're supposed to be out by 8, and we're like, doesn't say that here, buddy, you gotta give us like, so. But they were adamant, so I think we got out of our room at like 8:30. So, that was fun. I'm pretty tired. Then we went and checked into our next hotel, which was like a Holiday Inn. That was not my pick. You know, the pretty lady picked that one because she had like a bunch of points, so it was a freebie of sorts. We were on the north part of the Miami Beach, so not around really anything fun. Anything fun was like an hour walk each way, which we did on multiple occasions. I did rent a bike. There's these bikes that you can just take from the street and ride them for a fee, and so I rode a bike down to South Beach to go work out on the sand. They had this gym that was like, it's like an adult jungle gym, but they had weights and stuff. And they had this guy kind of looking after it, and there was these 2 sea cans, and at certain times of the day he would bring it, you'd open up the sea cans, and inside was like kettlebells and barbells and dumbbells and like Olympic bars, and then attached to the sea can was like what's called like a squat rack, so you can do your squats. So I just I rode this bike that I found on the street and rode it down and to do some squats in the on the sand and then take my picture while I was doing it. Did some selfies while I was working out, like everybody else that was down there. Just a bunch of tourists, you know, Instagram influencers, filming themselves working out in the sand and palm trees in the back, and then people watching while they drink these rather large beverages that look like they're in a bong. You know those ones that are in Vegas, where people walk around, where it's got the big tube, the big funnel at the top, and then there's a little ball at the bottom. Those ones. And they're very sugary, probably. Oh, I'm missing a big part. So, what the heck happened? We ended up hanging out with, like, a bunch of people. A bunch, meaning, like, a handful that, we met on the boat, spent some time with them. They took us to like some fancy bistro thing where we ate some fufu food, which is like it tasted good, but it was plated like it was a piece of art and it was not a lot of things. Do you know what I mean? You don't go there if you're hungry. You go there either to like have something, have a little piece of deliciousness in your mouth, not to like get your daily calories. One of those places. So we went and hung out with those people. And we obviously went back to our favorite bar, the Deuce. I think we found another dive bar. Anyway, you know, with those jukeboxes, they have those jukeboxes where you can plug them in. You can like pick the songs off your phone. So the thing that we started doing was we would kind of walk in and sort of commandeer the jukebox and like start putting in all this metal, like, you know, Judas Priest and Black Sabbath and what else did that do? I don't know. It was some fun stuff. But then the thing was like when we were ready to leave, we would queue up Cannibal Corpse, and then when we're about to leave we would hit it and then walk out and just leave that playing as everyone sort of started, was like, I mean, Cannibal Corpse is for the general public is not very palatable. The first time we pulled that trick, the group of people, we set it up, but then the group of people stayed and the song ended, and it was not really like dropping that and walking out on it. We just stood there and like basked in just the garbage that we were leaving. But I was able to do it at this one dive bar one of the nights, and it was kind of like a back and forth, like there was somebody else plugging it and it was like some Mexican hip-hop or Cuban hip-hop or something. I don't know. It was obnoxious. So we'd play the couple of songs of that, and then it would play like whatever I picked, which was like either Skid Row or I don't know what else we picked. I tried to keep it like a bit more palatable, like with some 80s stuff, you know. So everybody could like it. But then we're paying up and I queue up Cannibal Corpse, and I hit the go button, and again we start, as we're walking out, we start talking with the waitress, the bartender there or whatever, and which seemed to be the case during the whole trip. It was like we started becoming very friendly with the bartenders. I don't know how many bartenders we got like the numbers of, or they were giving us lists of places to go, or it was never like let's pay and get out. It was like let's pay and then they would, and then there'd be a conversation because the bartenders liked us for whatever reason. Except for when we watched the Monday night football game, there are the Sunday night football game or whatever. We went to some sports bar. And those people were, those ladies working the counter were not very, could care less to be there, I guess. Anyway, I think I got a record. I don't know. It kind of turned into a thing, so I didn't really get it properly, because the lovely lady found it to be a bit creepy and obnoxious to be like recording audio of things that I'd be playing here, like the thing you just heard before this segment. But I think we got that sorted out. And I did record the last time we did the Cannibal Corpse walking out thing. However, there's people talking in it, and it didn't turn out very well. So I will be deleting that. It has a bunch of other recordings that didn't work on this thing. I don't know. What do you think? Is it like weird to be using my voice app to be recording sounds like at concerts, like the actual music? It probably is. But how else am I going to get little like snippets of things? What if it was waves, right? What if it was waves? And I think for like the whole trip, like that was the only real like argument we kind of got into, was over me like using a audio recorder to like take sounds. In my mind, it's the same as like taking a photo or taking video, but it is a bit more discreet. It is creepy taking photos, so in certain situations, you know what I mean? Anyway, she's probably right. Here's kind of what it sounded like, though. The Cannibal Corpse drops, I mean. I gotta figure out a name for it. Corpse dropping. How am I going to end this bloated story? Let's see if there's any cool pictures that I'm missing out on memories here. Oh, yeah, okay. There's the big one. There's a big one I missed. I got taken to a National Basketball Association game. It was the Miami Heat versus the Los Angeles Lakers. The Los Angeles Lakers featuring LeBron James. You know, the guy from those movies. and also throws a ball into a basket. That was on the last day, our last day in Miami. We were able to catch a basketball game. It was like the perfect way to like end the trip. It was just like, it was so cool. I'm not really a basketball fan, but just being there and like seeing them do the things, I'm like, all week I've been kind of, as I've been cleaning my place and just getting chores done and stuff, I've had basketball in the background. It's interesting. The lovely lady even got to meet like one of the players that she likes. At the end of the game, they said that there was like this one area you can go and hang out in for like an hour. Just like the Miami Dolphins game. So we went to this area after, and then people were like, hey, do you have bracelets? And again, because of the section we were sitting in, we had to have bracelets to sit in that section. So we had these bracelets, and they're like, okay, cool. And then somebody else came up to us after and said, hey, you need to have blue bracelets. But our bracelets were purple. But we kind of talked our way into staying. We were just like, oh no, so-and-so told us we could be in here. We just made that up. But they let us stay. And it turned out that it was like this event for Florida Blue Cross members. And there was a buffet. And there was a DJ. And there was maybe like 20 Blue Cross members like hanging out there with these blue bracelets and us with our purple bracelets. I mean, it was dark and this was sort of like on a patio at the arena. But every once in a while, you know, security would come up and say, hey, let's see your bracelet. And they would be like, oh, okay, cool. Because they, in the dark, they couldn't really tell the difference between blue and purple. Some of them did, like I said, and then we have to make up some sort of story. But anyway, then they're like, oh, we got a special guest showing up. So we thought it might be like that DJ Khaled or Pitbull, because those two guys came out at the like fourth inning stretch. You know, I guess there's a fourth inning stretch in basketball, or maybe that was halftime. I don't know. They came out and danced with like seniors. They had this seniors dance troupe at the Miami Heat game. And that was like maybe the funnest part of that game was, not, the game was really good. It came down to like the last second and it was an exciting game. But the seniors dance troupe was like pretty phenomenal. But yeah, they brought out the famous people, which was DJ Khaled and the Pitbull guy. So we're at this Blue Cross thing, and they say, oh, someone famous is gonna come, and we thought it was one of them, but then it turned out to be like just, you know, one of the basketball players, Duncan Robinson or something. I don't know basketball. But the lovely lady was pretty excited, so we waited for the crowd to kind of disperse while Buddy took pictures with every, and signed things for the 20 Blue Cross people that were there. And then we went up to security and we're like, hey, we're actually Blue Cross members in Canada. Can we get in? And they were like, oh, can we be a part of this? And then like get up there closer and like get a picture with Buddy, the basketball player. And the security was like, well, talk to this guy because that's the PR guy. So we go and talk to the PR guy, and the PR guy's like, I don't care. He's like, there's barely anybody here. It's like, whatever, you can go up, he's a nice guy. So I don't know basketball stuff, and she's excited. So I went and she got her picture took with the basketball player and got a signed thing, and shook a hand or something. So that was very nice. Oh, I almost forgot. I had a freak out moment as right as we're our Uber was pulling up to the hotel to go to the basketball game. Walking down the sidewalk, I see this guy. He's all in black, black long sleeves, and he's got this beard and short hair. And I'm like, I recognize that guy. Like, it took a second, and I'm like, I know that person. And then it clicked right away. I'm like, oh my God, that's Andrew Huberman, who's like this neurobiologist that I follow on the social medias, and I listen to his podcast, and he's the reason why I do the cold plunges and everything. And I stare at a bright light in the morning, and what else do I do? I don't know. Whatever he says, I'm like, okay, cool, I'm gonna do that. Because you're a neurobiologist who, like, studies other people's studies and then tells people, hey, this is what the studies on the brain tell us about stuff. Anyway, he's, like, walking towards me on the sidewalk, and then behind I see, like, the Uber pulling up. I'm like, oh, I'm like, I need to say something to him. But then this other guy runs up and starts talking to him. I'm like, oh, no. And the guy runs up, takes a selfie with him. At the same time, my Uber's pulling up. So I'm like, oh, I got to take a picture. I'm not going to be able to say hi. So I take the picture. Andrew Huberman's got his back turned to me, and he's talking to this bro dude. And the lovely lady, I guess, goes up to the Uber as it pulls into our hotel. And I guess she says something like, hey, a friend of ours just showed up on the street. Can you wait a second? And because I'm just standing there still, like, dumbfounded that, what are the chances, right? And so Andrew's done with the guy. He turns, starts walking to me, and I'm just like, and I just reach out my hand right. I'm like, man, it's such an honor. I'm like, I don't have much time. My Uber just showed up, but I just wanted to say it's an honor to meet you, sir, and whatever. And he was just like, oh, Jesus. He's like, thanks. He's like, what's your name? He's like, Mike. I said, Mike. And then he started asking me questions like, oh, where are you guys from, and this and that, and oh, I was just in Toronto. He says, I just did a talk in Toronto. I just got back, and now I'm just here visiting friends. And then that's when my lady came up. Oh, that's when the pretty lady came up and was like, you know, and then he's like, hey, my name's Andrew. And she's like, hey, she said her name. And yeah, and then she made fun of him for, like, wearing, like, long sleeves in the heat. And then he said something like, he's like, oh, you know, I better go do a cold plunge or something like that. But and I don't know, in my head I was like, oh, the Uber, I got it. I'm like, oh, so I gotta go to this Uber. And I didn't get a picture with him. But then after we got in the Uber, she was just like, why didn't you get a selfie? And I'm like, oh, because of the Uber. And then she's like, oh, well, he could have stayed. And she's like, thank you for waiting anyways, the Uber guy, she says. And yeah, that was pretty special. That was something. So remember, like, my Vegas episode where I couldn't go up and talk to people? It's like, I feel like I've kind of got over a hump, and I'm just like, I'll talk to whoever, you know. I somehow have broken that. I feel like I've kind of broken out of a little turtle shell or something. Andrew Huberman. Anyway, that I think that covers the rest of the story, right? I'll finish off here with a a very touching moment. One of a few. I will say that there was maybe three or four times that were very very touching, or very, like, I kind of got choked up a bit. And it was an Andrew Huberman. What was it? We were on the boat. The first one was like, we're on the boat, and the first band starts playing on the outside pool deck, which is the bigger venue on the boat, and it's Municipal Waste, and I could care less about Municipal Waste. But we were standing on the upper level, and you could look down into everything, and you see all the people. And we were kind of behind the stage looking at it all. Just how, like, if you imagine if a donut was a rectangle, we were on the upper part of the donut, but behind the stage. And since, you know, we could see the drummer, we were behind the drummer, we could see him, and the back of the head of the singer and the guitarist and stuff. And the pretty lady says, she's like, something like, are you good? Are you having a good time? Or is whatever? Or what do you think? And then I kind of looked at her and I was like, oh, and I went to say something, but then, like, the thing happened where, you know, your throat closes up and you're like, and then you start to, like, well up a bit. I'm like, oh shit, where did this come from? So I'm like, I gotta go over here for a second. So I start walking away from the area and go to, like, kind of the side deck of the ship. And there wasn't many people there, so I kind of stopped and just kind of looked out into the ocean. And at this point, we were maybe, like, half hour out of the port of Miami, I think. And, yeah, and then, yeah, I had to collect myself. Because I think it was just that moment was, like, so overwhelming of, like, how crazy it was that there's all these people on this ship and this, like, cool music is playing, and you're in the ocean, and, like, Miami is, like, the cityscape of Miami is, like, getting smaller and smaller, and it's just, like, just how awesome that moment was, like, pretty cool. And I think I didn't expect to be taken back by that. I later had to explain to her. She's like, really, Municipal Waste did that to you? I'm like, no. It's just the magnitude of the moment kind of got taken away by it. Who's another one? There's a couple. There's one of the drunken nights, and we were walking, talking about something. And then we both kind of had a moment of something I don't remember. I feel like there was another one on the ship. I mean, being in the Bahamas, it was like, whatever. Sand. People talking funny. Things made out of straw. Like hats. And figurines. There's a lot of banks too. That's where rich people put their money, because there's no taxes, and the government can't get at you in the Bahamas. Oh, how is I gonna finish this? Oh, right, the other moment. So there was one. it was like a collaboration thing on the boat in the theater. There was some members of, I think it was like the singer from Killswitch Engage, the guitarist from Lamb of God, and some other people I don't know. And this Jerry or Jeremy guy or Brett, I don't remember his name. He looked like a country guy, but it's from like a Black Rose Rebel or something. I don't know the name of his band. But they were playing like some acoustic stuff and doing some covers, and they played this one song, and it kind of was like very touching. It was definitely a palate cleanser from all the, you know, screaming bands and whatnot. So here's a favorite moment of. I'll leave you with this thing.
The moon in silver dreams falls down in me, light of the night.
One more thing. We just a quick update. We have booked our tickets for next year's cruise, next year's Headbangers boat. Lineup's gonna be Lamb of God, Death Clock, Chimera, Poison the Well, At the Gate, Soulfly, Exodus, Napalm Death, Corrosion of Conformity, After the Burial, Currents, Bleeding Through, Unearth, I Hate God, Frozen Something, and Unity Something. Going from Miami to Puerto Plata, Dominican Republic. I'll have to ask my mom about the Dominican Republic. She's been there. This one leaves October 28th and is coming back November 1st. Oh boy, get your dancing shoes on. Better tighten up them wallet straps, and it's gonna be a year saving bucks. Relationship goals.